Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Always ready to get into the nitty-gritty.
Well, today we're taking a close look at the new architecture behind Microsoft Teams, and we've got some interesting sources to work with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a blog post directly from the Microsoft Community Hub, and a couple of AI-generated summaries just to give us a different perspective.
Sounds like a good mix.
So kind of like a detective case, trying to figure out why these changes were made, how Microsoft pulled it off, and what it all means for us, the Teams users out there.
No more tech jargon, right? Plain English.
Exactly. Straight to the point. The first thing that really jumped out at me was all three sources mentioned switching from Angular to React.
Ah, yeah, that's a big one.
In the software world, that's got to be like trading in your old car for a supercharged sports car, right?
It's definitely a significant shift. And it tells us a lot about where Microsoft wants to take Teams in the future.
Okay, so to understand the why, we probably need to understand the difference between these two things, Angular and React.
Right, so imagine Angular is like a fully furnished apartment, right? It comes with everything you need.
Oh.
But you're stuck with their layout, their rules. React, on the other hand, it's more like a set of building blocks.
Okay.
You've got the freedom to design and customize, build it how you want.
So React is more flexible.
Much more.
So by choosing React, Microsoft's saying they want Teams to be more adaptable.
Exactly. They're not just renovating, they're laying down a whole new foundation.
Ah, interesting. But what about this North Star architecture that keeps popping up in the blog post?
Yeah, the North Star.
What is that in plain English?
It's their guiding vision, like a compass pointing them towards the ultimate goal for Teams.
Okay.
Think of it like a long-term roadmap.
Like a plan?
Yeah, a commitment to creating a platform that can keep evolving with the needs of the users.
So not just a random tech swap, this was a strategic decision.
Absolutely, with a very clear purpose.
You know, it's interesting, the Microsoft blog post gets very technical, very in-depth, but the AI summaries, they seem more focused on explaining why these changes matter to everyday users.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
It's almost like they're targeting different audiences.
It makes sense though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The blog post, it's probably meant for developers, people who are already familiar with all those technical terms.
Okay.
While the AI summaries are more like translations for the rest of us, highlighting those key takeaways in simple language.
So let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. What does this new architecture actually mean for someone using Teams every day?
Well, from what I'm seeing in these sources, it's going to impact your Teams experience quite a bit.
Really?
And not just small improvements. We're talking about significant changes that you'll actually feel in how Teams performs and how you use it.
Okay, now I'm intrigued. Give me some highlights. What are the big wins for users?
Well, one of the most noticeable is performance. They've completely redone how video calls work. And it's led to a, wait for it, a 50% reduction in power consumption during video calls.
50%? Seriously? That's huge. No more hunting for a charger mid-meeting. That alone is pretty amazing. What else?
You can expect faster loading times, smoother video calls overall, and less strain on your computer's resources in general.
Less lag.
Way less. They've even optimized it for those massive meetings.
Oh, those giant meetings with like 1,000 people.
Exactly. Imagine that running smoothly with minimal lag and faster join times.
That's pretty impressive. It sounds like they've really focused on how people are actually using Teams, tailoring this new architecture to meet those needs.
For sure.
But it can't all be about speed, right?
Right.
What about other things like managing multiple Teams accounts or security improvements?
You're right. It's not just about speed. The new architecture brings improvements across the board, like streamlining how you work with multiple accounts and tenants.
Ah, so if you're someone who works with like different clients, different organizations, you can expect a much smoother experience with notifications and switching between those accounts.
Exactly. And of course, this is a big focus on security enhancements as well.
That's always a good thing. You know, I'm curious about something. The blog post mentions this partial data model and how it affects performance. Can you explain that, like, in a way that even I can understand? I'm not exactly a tech wizard.
Sure, sure. Think of it this way. You've got a huge document, hundreds of pages long.
Okay.
Instead of trying to load the entire document at once, which would take forever, partial data is like just loading the page you need at that moment.
Okay, so Teams is only loading what you need right then.
Exactly. It's just fetching the information for the screen you're on instead of downloading everything all at once.
So it's like Teams is being smarter about how it uses your computer's resources, not wasting time on things you don't need right away.
Precisely. That's why it feels so much faster and smoother.
What about those specific performance improvements they mentioned? Are those real or just marketing hype?
They're absolutely real.
Yeah.
And you'll feel the difference. For example, remember that 50% reduction in power consumption?
Yeah.
Well, that translates to longer battery life on your laptop.
No more low battery anxiety.
Exactly.
So how did they manage to pull off such a massive change to Teams? Was it like rebuilding a house while still living in it?
It was a complex undertaking for sure, but it seems they had a clear plan and went about it strategically.
Okay.
One key thing was breaking the process down into smaller, more manageable chunks.
So like a series of strategic renovations.
Exactly. Not tearing the whole thing down and starting from scratch.
Yeah.
Which is pretty impressive considering how many people use Teams on a daily basis.
Right. How did they know all these changes would actually make Teams better? Did they just assume everyone would be happy with a faster, leaner Teams?
It's a good question. It seems they relied heavily on user feedback during the whole process.
Oh.
Running beta programs, collecting data on how people were interacting with the new architecture.
Okay.
That way they could catch any issues and make adjustments as they went along.
So it was a two-way street.
Absolutely. They were very transparent about the changes, sharing updates and plans on their blog and community forums.
So it wasn't just, here's the new Teams, deal with it.
Nope. They wanted feedback, which is great.
So we've done a lot of praising Microsoft here for all this work they've done. But this deep dive isn't just about praising them, right? We're trying to understand their strategy here. What does this massive overhaul of Teams tell us about the bigger picture?
Now that's where it gets really interesting. I think it speaks to a broader shift in how Microsoft is approaching software development overall.
Okay.
They're not just building individual applications anymore. They're creating a connected ecosystem of tools and services all working together seamlessly.
So Teams is more than just a video conferencing app now.
Exactly.
It's becoming a hub for all kinds of work-related activities.
Right. Collaboration, communication, project management, the whole shebang. It's like a digital workspace that reflects how people actually work today.
So what does this mean for their other products then? Are we going to see similar transformations in like Outlook or Word?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And that's exactly what we're going to dive into next.
All right. So we've established that Microsoft is really going all in on making Teams the ultimate collaboration hub.
Definitely seems that way.
But what about their other software? I mean, is this going to have a ripple effect across all the other Microsoft apps?
It's definitely a possibility. If you look closely at the sources, there are some hints about Microsoft's overall strategy.
Oh, yeah.
For instance, they mentioned this new architecture is designed to be, you know, scalable and adaptable.
Okay.
Which suggests they're already thinking about how to apply these principles to other products as well.
So it's not just about Teams. It's about creating a blueprint for the future of all Microsoft software.
It could be. It's a pretty bold move if you think about it.
Okay. So let's get back to those other Microsoft apps for a second. Imagine a world where Outlook, Word, PowerPoint, everything is as fast and responsive as this new Teams.
It's an exciting thought, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And it's not totally impossible. I mean, Microsoft has already started using React and some of their other products.
Oh, they have.
So it's not a stretch to think they might apply these same performance-focused principles more broadly.
So we might actually get that lightning-fast Word that can handle giant documents without a hiccup.
Fingers crossed.
Speaking of speed, the sources also mentioned something about how this new architecture affects the way apps run within Teams. Something about getting rid of WebView wrappers.
Ah, yes.
I have to admit, that's a little over my head. Can you translate that into plain English?
Of course. Simply put, it means apps within Teams can now run much more efficiently.
Okay.
Think of it this way. In the past, each app was like running in its own little mini browser window.
Oh, okay.
Within the main Teams window.
Gotcha.
That added a lot of extra work and slowed things down.
So it was like each app had its own little silo.
Exactly. But with this new architecture, they've broken down those silos.
Okay.
Now apps can run directly within the main Teams process, sharing resources and communicating much more efficiently.
So it's all more streamlined now.
Exactly. Faster loading times, smoother performance, and a more integrated experience overall.
That makes sense. So beyond the technical stuff, what does this actually mean for the average user? How will they actually experience these changes?
Well, for one, they'll notice that apps within Teams load much faster and feel more responsive.
Oh, nice.
It's almost like they're part of Teams itself, not separate entities.
Seamless.
Exactly. It creates a much more seamless and intuitive experience.
So no more waiting around for apps to load.
Exactly. Yeah. It'll be like switching between tabs in your browser. Everything just snaps into place instantly.
Now that's a win. Didn't they also mention some improvements to security?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
By running apps in a more isolated environment, they've significantly reduced the risk of vulnerabilities.
Ah, so fewer chances of something bad happening.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like they've built a stronger wall around the team's ecosystem, making it much harder for anything malicious to get in.
Okay, so it's not just about speed and efficiency. It's also about peace of mind.
For sure.
Knowing that your data and your interactions are more secure is a big deal.
It is.
It's interesting how they've managed to do both, make teams more powerful and more secure at the same time.
It's a delicate balance.
The sources also talked about how Microsoft made Teams more accessible, too.
Yes. That was great to see.
They've improved keyboard navigation and screen reader compatibility so everyone can use it effectively.
It's fantastic that they're prioritizing accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
It shows a real commitment to making Teams an inclusive platform, making sure everyone has equal access.
It's a smart move, too. By making Teams more accessible, they're opening it up to a wider range of users. Okay, let's switch gears for a second. Let's talk about multi-tenant support. The sources mention some improvements there. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. For folks who work with multiple organizations or clients, the new architecture makes it much smoother to manage notifications and to switch between different accounts.
Finally, no more feeling like you're juggling a dozen different identities on Teams.
Exactly. It's a huge improvement for anyone who collaborates with external partners or has to manage multiple accounts.
It really does sound like they've thought about the needs of lots of different types of users, tailoring this new architecture to make everyone's lives easier.
They've definitely taken a holistic approach, thinking about how people actually use Teams in different situations.
So zooming out a bit, what does all of this tell us about Microsoft's long-term vision?
That's the key question, isn't it?
It seems like they're not just like tweaking features here and there. They're fundamentally changing how they approach software development.
I think you're right.
Moving away from those big, clunky, standalone apps and embracing a more interconnected approach.
It's like they're building this digital ecosystem where everything works together smoothly.
So Teams is no longer just a video conferencing app. It's the central hub for all sorts of work-related stuff.
Exactly. Collaboration, communication, project management, the works. It's like the glue that holds everything together in a modern digital workspace.
And this new architecture is what makes that vision possible. The flexibility, the performance, everything they need to support this ever-expanding ecosystem of tools.
It's like a launch pad for future innovation within Teams.
It really is. And it sounds like they're not stopping there. They've hinted at, you know, sharing more technical insights, encouraging more user feedback.
Yeah, busy in that way.
So they're not just building this in a vacuum. They're actively engaging with users, getting feedback, refining their approach.
Which is great. It's a sign of a company that truly cares about making their products the best they can be.
And it shows that they see this as a journey, not just a one-time thing. They're not afraid to keep iterating, keep evolving, always looking for ways to improve the user experience.
And that's a really important mindset for any software company these days.
Absolutely. To stay relevant, you have to adapt. But bringing it back down to earth, what does this mean for the everyday Teams user?
It means they can expect a much better experience overall. Faster, smoother, more secure, more accessible.
Everything we've been talking about.
They'll be able to collaborate more effectively, connect with colleagues more easily, get work done with less hassle.
It's like Microsoft is saying, hey, we've listened to your feedback, we're invested in the future, and we're committed to making Teams the best possible tool for you.
Exactly.
This deep dive hasn't just been about the present, though. It's also about the future.
That's right.
And that leads us to a pretty big question. If Microsoft is willing to make such dramatic changes to one of their most popular products, what does that tell us about the future of their other software? Could we see similar transformations across the entire Microsoft ecosystem?
That's a very interesting question.
And one that we'll be exploring in the final part of our deep dive. All right, so we've seen how Microsoft has, well, basically rebuilt Teams from the ground up.
It's quite the transformation.
But is this just a one-time thing or, you know, a sign of things to come for their other software?
That's the big question, isn't it?
If they're willing to go to these lengths for Teams, what's stopping them from applying the same philosophy to, say, Outlook or Word?
I mean, imagine if Outlook got a similar makeover. No more clunky interface, no more endless loading times, just a super efficient email powerhouse.
Oh, that would be a dream come true. And what about PowerPoint? Imagine presentations loading instantly, even those packed with like high-res images and videos.
And Word, finally able to handle those massive documents without breaking a sweat.
We're talking about next-level productivity here.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's not just about speed and efficiency. What about those other key areas we've talked about? Accessibility, security, all that.
Right, right. Those are crucial for any software. And, you know, it seems like Microsoft is taking them seriously.
Yeah, they've made Teams more accessible, and they've really emphasized security as a major benefit of this new architecture.
So it's logical to assume those would be priorities for any future redesigns, too.
Makes sense. So it's not just a cosmetic makeover. It's a total rethink of how these apps work at their core.
Exactly. Making them more user-friendly, more secure, and accessible to everyone.
And don't forget, it's not just about individual apps either. Remember that whole interconnected ecosystem thing we talked about?
Oh, right, right. This approach could lead to even tighter integration between all the different Microsoft products.
Imagine a world where your calendar, your emails, your documents, your communication tools, all working together seamlessly. Like a well-oiled machine.
That's the dream. Unlocking all sorts of new possibilities for collaboration and creativity.
Pulling data from Excel into a PowerPoint presentation, or sharing a Word doc right in a Teams meeting, all within the same interface.
Exactly. No more switching back and forth between a million different windows.
That would be game-changing for sure. But let's be real for a second. This is all just speculation at this point.
Right.
We don't have any hard proof that Microsoft is planning to overhaul all their software.
True. But the changes to Teams definitely give us some clues. It shows they're focusing on performance, user experience, and creating a more connected ecosystem.
So maybe this is just the first step. Maybe we're on the verge of a Microsoft software renaissance.
It's certainly an exciting time to be following their developments.
Well, it's been an incredible journey diving into the new Teams architecture and speculating about the future of Microsoft software.
We've learned a lot from these sources, and hopefully you have too.
And remember, this is just the beginning. We encourage everyone to check out the source materials themselves and continue exploring these topics.
Keep those minds curious, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep into the world of technology.
Until next time.